Now we'll start off in Romans 12. But it should be a good thing with any good teacher. It's the same way with a coach. So athletics, I can really relate to athletics, and anybody who's been in athletics, it doesn't have to be athletics. It could be any kind of discipline. But if you go into a football camp and you don't break a sweat, what happens? I just got done doing a camp with a bunch of NFL football players. The players were expecting to be tested. And if they didn't break a sweat, then the teachers would have lost credibility. If you go to college and the teacher says, well, you really don't have to bring the books. Why don't I tell you, they're going to lose credibility. What you want a teacher who's going to strengthen you and make you better. And if you're going to a church or there's teachings and it's just everything's kind of the same, it's just a little bit of a different flip, the odds are that you're really not, you're probably not being fed like you could. But that's where the Telos Ministries has got wonderful information out there. A lot of challenging things, and it doesn't mean that you have to agree with it. But the idea is actually, when you read the Rothrian, the most accurate Bible there is in English, what you will see is you'll see discrepancies. The old man, the flesh, we want to be comfortable. We want our own little easy chair. We want everything to be the same. We want the Christmases to stay the same. We want the family traditions to stay the same. But the problem is, that is not where the truth is. And so the idea would be to seek it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, somebody would read 1 and 2.
I receive you, therefore, brethren, though through the compassion of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh. Acceptable, you rational divine service. And be
verse 2.
And be not configuring yourself unto this age, but he transforming yourselves by renewing of your mind, to the end ye may be proving that is the thing willing by Yahweh, the good and the acceptable and perfect.
And the word perfect is the word teleos. And Yahweh says in His Word He wants everybody to be teleos, to grow up. I'm sure Moses, when he was 80 years old and he was speaking to the bush, do you think he felt like a little kid?
Yes.
No, he felt like a grown man. I bet you he thought he had it all figured out. But he was an infant when it came to Yahweh's knowledge and all the rest of these things. But he started learning, and he started conforming himself to our Father. Tell me about this, and tell me about that. And so the idea is, in Romans 12, it says, don't do this. Do not configure yourself, or do not, pay attention, Kate. Sit next to her. Just follow along. Do not try to conform to this world. You're not supposed to blend in. You're not supposed to, hey, I just want to blend everything. When Tim went into the military, my brother-in-law, when he went into the Air Force, he was getting ready to go to, like, I don't know the whole story. But before he was going to basic training, he saw somebody in the airport who was just coming back from the military. He said, hey, you got any tips? I'm getting ready to go into basic training. And the guy was like, blend in. And Tim, he goes, don't stand out from the crowd. Don't bring any attention to yourself. So Tim went into basic training, and everybody who let themselves be separated was made an example. They were made fun of. They were mocked and all these things. So what was happened to everybody, like in basic, they learned you blend in like soldiers. Everybody's the same. It's one unit. And at the end of the course, the instructor didn't even know Tim was even in the class. And Tim knew I passed because I blended in. That's what the world is teaching you, and the world is teaching me. That's what the world is teaching us every day. Blend in. And that's good for military purposes to blend in because of that war. But Yahweh is telling us through His Son Jesus Christ, you are not to blend in with this world. Who else is telling you to blend in?
Satan.
Our own flesh.
Yeah.
Our flesh wants to be fit in. You got to wear new clothes. You got to wear this kind of clothes. You got to cut your hair right. If you don't listen to this music, then you're not cool. Here's all these things, and specifically with today, when we got all these mediums like TV, internet, this is what it takes to blend in and fit in. This is what you got to do to be cool. And I've been guilty of it. But the idea is, Yahweh says there's the adversaries telling you to blend in, the world's telling you to blend in, and you are telling yourself to blend in. But what does Yahweh tell you to do? transform. The transform is the same Greek word that we get metamorphosis. So he's telling us it's up to us, and it is our choice to turn from a caterpillar to a butterfly every day. And it's a lot more comfortable for to be a caterpillar. But he's calling us to be a new creation in Christ, to be that butterfly. We're going to look at another example of the word transform. That'll be Matthew 17. That'll be page 18. Okay, you're reading. Okay. Another example of transforming. You know, it was a real neat thing. I think a lot of times we believe, and this group's got to be guilty too. The idea is anybody who thinks they got to figure it out is wrong. We should all be reconciling ourselves every single day to His image. And when we think we don't have to change anymore, we're wrong. Our Father's going to change things. It's all about a relationship and about pursuing Him every single day. Peter, when Jesus Christ reproved Peter, says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Peter goes, "You know everything." And he goes, "Then feed my sheep." And Peter looked at the rest of the disciples and he goes, "What about them?" "It's none of your business, Peter. You follow me." Our Heavenly Father Yahweh and His Son Jesus Christ is telling every one of you each day, "I don't care what your wife does. I don't care what your kids do. I don't care what your boss does. I don't care where you've grown up. I don't care who your parents were. I don't care if I want you to follow me." Well, then how do I follow you? It's going to be a personal relationship first, getting into the Scriptures. Moses had to start from scratch, didn't he? Moses, before a burning bush, he goes, "Okay, if I go to the people in Egypt and I say the God of our fathers has sent me, what is His name?" Moses didn't even know Yahweh's name at the time. It got lost during the Egyptian captivity. But Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 3. It's page 18. If somebody read that.
"And after 6 days, Yahushua taketh with him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transformed before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. Lo, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah conversing with them. And Peter answering said unto Yahushua, Lord, it is delightful for us to be here. If thou wilt, I'll make here three tents, for thee one, Moses one, and for Elijah one." How far do I go?
You can keep reading.
"While yet he was speaking, lo, a brightly shining cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I delight. Be hearkening to him."
And hearing it, the disciples fell upon their faces and were caused to fear exceedingly. And Jesus came near and touching them, said, "Arise, and be not afraid." And lifting his eyes, they saw, lifting their eyes, no one saw they save Jesus himself. What's really important, we'll keep to the bottom of verse 9, "unto no one." "And unto no one may ye tell this vision." Vision. It was a vision. What did Peter, James, and John just see? A vision. They saw a vision of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. And what did he look like? It was a light show, or like John Lynn said, a Tide commercial. Wow! And Peter got so excited. Wow, look at this! Do you think that'd be neat? How many people here look at the world and you see cats that got ran over by cars, birds that got thrown out of their nests, you see death, disease everywhere, and you go, there's got to be a better place, right? All of us have a problem with death. Here's Peter, James, and John. They got to see the resurrected Christ, and it was exciting. Jesus Christ, other translations will say this, the Mount of Transfiguration. If you look at the over on verse 2, see the note D? It is not transfigured. It is more than transfigured. It is transformed. He was changed. He was transformed into something else. Mm-hmm. And they saw a vision of actually, guess what they saw? The same vision you and I are going to see when we kneel before Jesus Christ when we're judged. Now, we're believers. Now, salvation is by grace, but after you receive salvation every day, you're going to be judged for what you did. Did you do good or did you do bad? And he says that the things you did for yourself, well, you're going to have your own reward. It's going to pass through the fire. It's going to disappear. The things you did for me and my Father, your obedience, you'll get to keep. We're going to go before Jesus Christ. We're going to see this transform Mashiach, or Christ. It's a good thing for us to remind each other when we see people that are fooled, specifically with the garbage that's on TV. Satan and the adversary is always trying to intimidate us to make us think that we're the minority and you're losing this battle. Well, I got really good news for you. He's a liar. I don't care what liars say.
Yeah,
I don't care what a liar says. You know, I don't care. If somebody was trying to sell me some oceanfront property and I look at the return address and they're writing to me from the prison, you think I'm going to go, well, maybe I should really research this guy. No, he had a penal colony. Why would I give him any credit? When the adversary tells us that we're losing something, the idea is our job is to be transformed every day, and we are to be transformed the same way Peter, James, and John saw Christ transformed into the new creation. People should be able to see us and do what Peter did, fall down on their face, go, what is this? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to shine our light. We are supposed to be the light of the world. If we don't choose to shine by first being obedient, then there is very little light. And people stumble everywhere. And what's also neat about that is we should be preparing people. You see people that they think they've convinced themselves. They haven't convinced themselves. They're lying to themselves. You ever known somebody who lies to themselves? Everybody lies to themselves. But the idea is we should be preparing, going, yeah, I understand that you think that you could get away with this sexual immorality or fornication or something. Yeah, I see how you justify it. But my question is, when you go before Jesus Christ, do you think you'll buy it? Because he's going to see your heart. Yeah. And you think you can justify committing adultery because of this, this, and this, that. That's fine. But do you think the judge is going to buy it? And they should look at you and go, who the heck are you? Hey, if you want help for preparation for your court date, come to me. If you don't want it, go your way. And that's our job, is to give people choices. Our job, and we shouldn't be distracted whether people follow us or not. Our job is to say, you got a court date. Everybody's going to be judged. Well, I don't believe there is a God. That's a lie. Everybody knows. We should say Psalms 100. So here's Darwinism. Psalms 100 was written during King David's time. I think it was like 900 years before Jesus Christ, right around. Don't quote me. And they were saying then that we made ourselves. Does that sound like Darwinism? Yeah. Does that sound like we evolved into something? Yeah, it's a lie. It's all a lie. Everybody knows there's a creator. The difference is, are we preparing people for their court date? And when you go to somebody and they have these sins and you go, do you think he's going to buy it? Do you think is that transforming yourself? Or is that conforming to him? Because if somebody has a bunch of immorality, and I'm not going to say anything, well, they're not even going to listen to me. Anybody ever done that before? Mm-hmm. What's the point of even talking to them? They won't listen to me. That's a lie too. Your job is not to go, well, they won't listen to me. Your job is to give people choices. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And people hated him. They wanted to kill him for it. And it was a neat thing, as David Remy did a teaching. He goes, I am convinced that there was nobody more humble than Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And what did he say? I'm the guy. I'm he. I'm him. Sometimes we feel like if we speak up, we're not being humble. Actually, by speaking up, you are being humble. Who are you being humble to? Are you being humble? Are you going to choose to be humble to the world? Or are you going to choose to get down on your knees and act like he's in the room with us? And if he's in the room with us, and I see somebody getting ready to destroy their life because of the lust of the flesh, and I go, well, I might lose a friend if I talk to him about it. But if I remember the judge and his son are right here, I know I'm obligated. Hey, if you ever want help to be broken from these chains, you let me know. What the heck do you think you are? Hey, I just want you to know. Here's my card. That's transforming yourself. So the deal is, we are always transforming. But don't transform yourself into this world. Don't transform yourself into Facebook or to what video games say or CNN. Transform yourself into the resurrected Christ and the image of our Heavenly Father is what you're supposed to do. And the idea is, whatever is in our life, if there's things that are in our life that we would be ashamed of bringing before Jesus Christ's desk, everybody has that, just so you know. It's okay. The idea is to start looking at these things, going, which one do I got to start getting rid of? And guess what he'll do? He'll help you. You know, we'll work on this one first. Boy, my life is a mess. And if you think your life is so messy and so overwhelmed you can't get started, you're in good company. When I was a little kid and my room was messed up and I didn't want to clean it, my mom and dad said, you can't do this until you clean your room. You know what I would do? I would sit there in a messy room. How are you going to get started on this? Oh, I get so overwhelmed. I can't pick up all these Legos. Oh, everybody hates me. And then somebody would come along, Aaron, just pick up one thing at a time. And they start moving one thing at a time. And pretty soon it would get on. Jesus Christ is doing the same thing. He's come to deliver us. Exodus chapter 19.
Chapter 19, verse 4
is page 102 in the Rotherham.
What verse?
We're going to read chapter 19, verse 4, 5, and 6. And what's real important is a lot of this stuff is not going to, this is, so these teachings are not going to mesh with mainstream media. Today they say there's nothing you can do to make Jesus Christ love you any more or any less. Sounds good, doesn't it? Is that conforming to the image of Jesus Christ in 1 John 1? 1 John 1 says, if you live in sin and you say you have fellowship with the Father, you're a liar. If you confess your sins, then you're forgiven. And he'll be faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If. So if somebody gets salvation, well, I can do whatever I want because they said that that's conforming to what people want. When people say there's nothing you can do to make Jesus Christ love you any more or any less, they are conforming to the lust of the flesh. And you should go to them and say, you are in violations of Romans 12, 1 and 2. What you are conforming to the lust of the flesh. Well, how can you say that? Salvation came. And it's been paid for. That is too. But each day, we are supposed to be a living sacrifice. Every single day. We were created for good works to our Heavenly Father. And he said, if you love me, then why don't you do what I say? And so, what we are to do when people say those things is, what did they just say? Does it conform me to the Word and Scriptures? Or does it conform to what I want to feel? And a lot of times, and all of us are guilty of that, but when you read something and it conforms to your feelings, a red light should go off, or a yellow light. Is that what our Father says? Because I had some very good football coaches, and most of the time what they told me did not make me feel very comfortable. I would look at them and go, you got to be kidding me. You're going to kill me. And a lot of times they would make me run. They would do things. I thought they were trying to kill me. I just gave a speech to some high school kids. I said, the coach that cared about me the most, I hated for the longest until I realized he loved me more than everybody else. He got more out of me than any other coach ever did. I thought I was going to die over and over again. This is going to kill me. You can't do this to me. And guess what? He taught me that my flesh was a liar. He discredited my flesh. He helped me do it. The same way my mother and my father were teaching me over and over again. Your flesh is discredited. We say it all the time. Your flesh goes, I've had this. If you don't eat right now, you're going to die. I don't even know if you can drive home right now, Aaron. Your blood sugar is so low. I'm like, you're right. Wendy's is right over here. I better just go into Wendy's or Quick Trip. That's what I got to do. I got to drive home. My blood sugar is so low. And then all of a sudden, Aaron, are you starving that much? Well, yes, I am. There's a can of tuna in your trunk and a can opener. It's hot. I can't eat that. You said you're starving to death, right? I am starving to death. Well, eat the tuna. If you're starving to death, well, I'm not that hungry. It happens with all this. So the idea is that you're going to go, wait a minute, okay. So when people start giving us what we want and our flesh fits it, we're going to say, they're not necessarily telling us the truth. I mean, don't automatically discredit, but we should go in there and go, man, that person always tells me what I want to hear. Wait a minute. Are they preparing me for my court date? Or they just want my company? A mother and a father who love their kids are going to say, we got to talk about this. And you're, oh my gosh, mom and dad, is it ever over? If they love you, and if you love them, you better hope it's never over. Because your idea is not to be like Kenneth Copeland. It's not to be like your mom and dad. It's not to be like me. You are to be changing every day until you are like Jesus Christ. Right. And every time and every act you do, you will be rewarded for it too. So that's the idea. Exodus 4, 19:4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you upon wings of eagles, how I brought you in unto myself. Now therefore, stop. Now therefore, If ye will indeed hearken unto my voice and keep my commandments,
covenant,
then shall ye be mine as a treasure beyond all the people. For mine is all the earth. All the earth is His, and then what will we become?
Treasure.
A treasure. I saw Lord of the Rings, and there was gold all over the place, and here's a dragon named Smaug. And there's so much gold, it was just kind of like, who cares about the gold, right? And then there's this one treasure that was in it. Yahweh gives all of us a choice. You can blend in like the rest of the gold, or you could be like the one treasure that changed the whole movie. Mm. Wow! How do we become that treasure? To blend in with everybody else, or to stand out as His treasure? Keep His commandment, or His covenant. If we will do it, every day, and it's not a one process thing, every single day we get a choice. Will you shine for Him? Because the deal is, if you're being obedient, people are going to abandon you. If you're being obedient, there's highs and there's lows. But if you're being obedient and you're remembering that Yahweh and His Son are in the room, you're going to shine. It doesn't matter what you look like to other people. And if people abandon you, you can be just like Jeremiah. What do you think Jeremiah looked, the prophet Jeremiah, when he's covered in dung up to his neck possibly, in a prison, he's trying to save his people. He's being obedient. They're trying to kill him. He's in dung. What did he look like to the world?
Mm-hmm.
Loser. What did he look like to Yahweh?
Treasure.
We know what he looked like. A beaming treasure. On all the earth, as far as we know, the whole earth was garbage. And here's one Jeremiah. And there's a neat thing. He's going to say, here's Yahweh looking and going, I got one. I got one. There's a mathematician during Isaac Newton's time that believed that before the flood of Noah, there were like 50 billions or billions and billions of people, because people were living 900 years having babies. How many were Yahweh's treasure? Eight.
Yeah.
Eight. He's an optimist. I got eight. Woo! Did Moses or Noah look like a loser? Look at you. Nobody's following you. But he shined. He was a sweet savoring smell. And that's what our choice is, to blend in to the world or to stand out for Him. Or even another way to say it, because a lot of times people say, don't blend in. Well, we are to blend in to the invisible world. We are to blend in with Jesus Christ and His Father. Because if we are walking around in this world and doing our bebopping along, doing whatever, blending in with people, whoever you want to say it, just think of something, Michael Jackson or some movie star. Do you think Michael Jackson at his pinnacle would blend in the courts of Yahweh with Jesus Christ? I don't think he's going to blend in. He's going to stick out. So our idea is to be transformed, to blend into their image. I want to fit every single day. And then when we look at something, we go, I still got some sin in my life. Hey, great. I mean, it's just like weeding. You know, a lot of times when I first got my first house, it was never ending. I thought, how many times you got to spray for weeds? I thought you sprayed the yard one time for weeds and you got it done, right? And you know what you learn? It's a process for the rest of your life. And I learned it, instead of going, I got to keep working, I said, no, it's a wonderful privilege. E.W. Bollinger, his notes under this goes, here's what Yahweh's people were called to do. This is what they were designed to do. You have an Apple phone. You have a Droid phone. You have a computer. It was designed for something. Do you have a four-wheel drive?
Yeah.
It was designed for something. And if you read the owner's manual, if you humble yourself to the designer, you'll get to find out what it was born to do. You can imagine somebody who has a little caterpillar cage and never lets a butterfly out. You're like, man, why don't you let that thing fly around a little bit? Yahweh's people in Exodus 33:16, they were supposed to be a separate people. They were to be a people. They were to be an inheritance in Deuteronomy 4:20. A purchased people in Exodus 15:16 and Psalm 74:2. They were to be a holy people. You know what holy means? Consecrated. Separated. It says, holy I am, holy shall you become. What's that mean? It means each day you are to separate yourself, every single day, to be with Yahweh. The feeling in the flesh is, well, I don't have any sin in my life. I don't have any vices. Are you separating yourself today is the question. Well, what's that supposed to mean? I don't know. Daniel separated himself three times a day. With prayer. With scriptures. Are you separate? No, I'm not doing it. Okay, well then that's okay. It's easy to get started. You start separating yourself. Every day we're to be holy, redeemed, sanctified, set apart. And that's what they're designed to be. And so all those descriptions and what our Father, when He starts telling about us, we're not supposed to blend in. We're supposed to stand out. A lot of people know about Yahweh's name now. Why won't anybody say it? And actually, when you hear about Yahweh's name, I've heard it. And yeah, I know you guys say it's important.
But the real question is, why doesn't anybody else say it? Right? I mean, that's the real question.
That's what we feel, right? Do you know why nobody else says it? Because they're being conformed to this world. And our job is to be proud of our dad who is in the room and his son. And dad, you wrote your name 6,800 times. Why did you do that? He says he loves his name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the name. The song, Blessed Be the Lord, or Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, is Blessed Be Yahweh's Name. He wrote it. And so what we're to do is, I'll catch this in my own life too, I don't even want to say Yahweh's name at times. I'll say Jesus Christ, or I'll say Heavenly Father. And that's where people that should love me to say, Aaron, if you don't say Yahweh's name, who will say it? Are you supposed to be blending in? Are you supposed to be shining? Are you going to obey His covenant? Because it says, take my words and speak them, put them in your mouth. Like Joshua, it says, be strong and courageous. Take my words, speak them day and night. Then you'll make yourself prosperous. Here's Joshua. Okay. You know what Joshua would have read? The books before the book of Joshua. Do you know how many times Yahweh's name was written? 1,300 times. Did you know that 1,300 times is more times than Jesus Christ's name was written? So when Joshua, if he was being obedient, which we know he was because he was successful, he would have said Yahweh's name all over the place. But Yahweh's not that it is important, but it's just one of those things. So we're supposed to stand out, stick out. 2 Peter 1:6. It'll be 2:18. So the challenge is this: we look in the mirror, and if we love each other, and I got to train a lot of very successful athletes. I got to be around bodybuilders and other people, and so the physical discipline is just something I really understand. If you're great with music or artwork or hunting, whatever your discipline in, all these things will apply to you. But the idea is, if you're training for a marathon, okay, you know the best thing for you to do? Surround yourself with somebody else, an accountability partner that's training for the same marathon. Because then they'll go, don't eat that. Come on, you got a marathon coming up in 6 months. You can't be doing that. You got to run. You can't be smoking. Oh, God. Okay, you're right. It's the same way with somebody's getting married. So bridesmaids and girls are really good at that. I really applaud women getting ready for their marriages. Here's the wedding dates. Their bodies get transformed. And you know what? I don't know. I've never been a woman. I've never been a bride. But I can imagine that most of those women that get married had all kinds of friends that are with them going, don't forget about your date. You're going to get one wedding photo. It's going to last the rest of your life. And they're going, oh. But the women that got the great pictures, I bet you they're so thankful for all those people that helped them out. That's what our job's supposed to be with. We got a date coming up. Jesus Christ. Nobody knows the time of the day. He could come back tonight. Wouldn't that be great? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 2 Timothy 1:6.
Timothy or Peter?
It's Timothy. Sorry, did I say Peter?
Yeah.
It's 2:18. 2 Timothy.
Chapter 1.
So Timothy is a leadership epistle. Timothy is called a man of God or a man of Elohim. It is not addressed to the whole church, but it's addressed to a specific, but we can learn from and apply it to us. A man of God, according to our Father's word, is a prophet. And so I'm not a prophet, but we're going to learn from what was written to Timothy. Verse 6. Chapter 1, 2 Timothy, verse 6. Here's the Apostle Paul. Actually, it's Yahweh through Christ writing through Paul. Paul writing by revelation. For which cause I put thee in remembrance to be stirring up Yahweh's gift of favor. E.W. Bullinger's note on this. There's like the two greatest scholars, E.W. Bullinger or Joseph Rotherham, and their fidelity to Yahweh's word is wonderful. But do you know what E.W. Bullinger says about the stir up the gift that's within you? We've all heard about that. He says it is literally to stir into flame. Huh. It literally means, not just stir up like the gift, but it literally means stir it into a flame. You ever seen coals? The fire's going down. Somebody goes, the fire's out. And somebody like my brother or my dad or Tim was really good with fire. No, 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 we got it. And they start fanning and they start stirring it up. Yahweh is telling Peter, Paul, through Paul to Timothy, stir into a flame the gift that is within you. Stir it up. Which is in thee through means of the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of cowardice. Other things are going to say fear. It's not fear. It's cowardice. But of power and of love and correction. Timothy. Okay, you think he had an advantage having the Apostle Paul to be his teacher? That's a little bit better than Dallas Seminary or any of those things. Yeah, the Apostle Paul who taught you. His name was Paul. Wow, okay. What was Timothy? He was intimidated. He was feeling there was a spirit of cowardice. He was going to cower. Or he was cowering at something, or he was wrestling with something. You can kind of read through it, but he goes, Yahweh didn't give you a spirit of cowardice. Go to chapter 4, verse 3. Later on, Yahweh, through Paul, is telling Timothy, this is what's going to happen. For there will be a season when the helpful teaching they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away, while unto stories they will turn to themselves aside. They'll turn themselves aside. Timothy, don't be a coward. If people are leaving your congregation because you are being faithful to Yahweh, don't let it deter you. Really? How many... have you guys ever been to a church and it looks like they... what do we got to do to keep everybody inside this? We got to keep everybody inside this church. Not necessarily. He says there's going to be a season back then that people are going to reject. They have itching ears. They don't like this. They don't even like the name Yahweh anymore. This Yahweh thing is kind of weird. It's too Hebrew. Or anyone, they're going to depart from it. What is our the message tonight is, what do you think Timothy was having a tendency to conform himself to configure himself to? The teachings and the itching ears, possibly. And Yahweh said, it's the same thing as, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when people depart, let them depart. Our objective is not to blend in, to be voted most popular. Moses would have been voted most popular. Jesus Christ was killed, right? Who killed him? The Jews. Wasn't very popular with them, was he? But the idea is to stand out with our Father, to be the illuminaries on this planet. And he goes, if we keep his covenant, then we will be the treasures on all this earth. And I own all the earth. Isn't that neat? Think about all the money, all the oil, all this gold. And Yahweh goes, if you keep my commandments, you are my treasure. You're it. You're more valuable than all these things. Isn't that wonderful? So don't be surprised when we do it. And actually, it would be great. I really, after reading some of these, I want to go to ministers to go, if are people leaving your church? No. Should they be leaving your church? Well, why would they do that? Because, pastor, if your church is conforming yourself to Christ, people are usually going to leave. If they're not, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I'm not saying that you have a problem, but the idea is, why is it getting bigger? Is it because you're conforming and telling them what they want? And so that, oh, I never thought of it that way. It is something to think about. We turn to Ephesians 5:7. And so the idea would be for all of us, as we go out and testify, the objective is when we go before Jesus Christ, he could come back right now. How wonderful would it be for him to come back? He walks in the room and go, we were just talking about you. Hey, this is him. We're on TV. Come on in. He's like, yeah. Instead of, you guys been talking about somebody, they come in the room, everybody hushes. Oh boy, oh boy. Wouldn't it be great if he came back right now? Yeah. The idea is, prepare yourself for that day. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And if you're not really looking forward to it, it's okay. Just get started. It's like picking up the Legos. But the idea is to act like you're standing in front of his desk every day. Then if you see a man dressed as a woman, well, I got the right to do this. We should see in the invisible world, he is standing in front of Jesus Christ's desk. And I'm looking at him, I'm looking at and going, you're not supposed to do that. Well, you can't tell me what to do. Do you know you're going to meet Jesus Christ someday? And you're not going to be wearing a dress. You know that, right? Well, who the heck are you? If you ever want help, you come to me. And I'll help prepare you for that day. Are you saved? I've been saved. Okay, let's say. But all that you've done is going to be burned up. But the idea is there's an invisible white, I like to think of this huge white desk. Maybe Jesus Christ, I don't know if he, I don't. I used to think of him as a throne, but when I think about going before him with all my work, I think of him as a desk. All right, what you got, Aaron? I wasn't ready for this pop quiz. What do you mean you weren't ready for the pop quiz? I said nobody's going to know the moment when I'm coming. I told you it's going to be a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Other people told you that the moment is an atom. What do you mean you weren't ready for this? I told you there's a pop quiz. It's not a pop quiz. I wasn't ready for this. Idea is to get people ready. Come on, he's coming back. Get excited. And I don't want to be around that. Well, fine. The idea is to shine the light. Ephesians 5:7. If some of you would read chapter 5, verse 7.
I'll read it. Do not then become co-partners with them.
Yeah, keep reading. That's right.
Doggy breathe?
Huh?
Right. For you were at one time darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. As children of light, be walking. Where are you reading? Keep reading?
For the... Okay. As children of light, be walking. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness. You want to produce fruit? Goodness and righteousness according to the Word. You want to produce light every day? And truth. I had it with friends in college that it used to bother me a little bit, but they knew that I was going through a transforming phase in my life. I'm a work in progress. Surprise. But my friends who were in college, they'd come over and hang out at my parents' house. We're swimming, playing sand volleyball, and one of them would cuss. And then they'd all turn and look at me and go, we're sorry. Isn't that admirable? That's what people should be doing. And at first, I was like, I don't want to make them uncomfortable. And then I prayed about it. I go, Aaron, you're supposed to make them uncomfortable. Verse 10, putting to test what is well-pleasing unto Yahweh, and be not joining in fellowship in the unfruitful works of darkness. Hey, you want to hang out with people in darkness? Welcome to the club. All of us do. All of us have an old man flesh, a war. There's a war. Why do we do wicked things? Why do we have these desires? Who put these desires in me? Adam and Eve. We were sold into slavery. There it is. It's not necessarily Satan. It's not the devil. Unless you're practicing darkness, it could be. But if you're not in darkness, then why? Here I am. I have a fellowship. I'm praying. And all of a sudden, something wicked comes up. What is that? That's the old man. Get rid of it. Exterminate it. But rather be administering reproof. You mean if you love people, you'll reprove them? Verse 12, for the secret things which are brought to pass by them, it is shameful even to be seen. You know, the secret things, all of us have secret things. But when we go before Jesus Christ, nothing is going to be secret. Everything is going to be seen, right? Verse 13, all things, however, when reproved by light, become manifest. Light manifests darkness. Our job is to shine, be the illuminaries, and manifest the darkness. And if people have darkness in their life, they go, golly, I'm just a work in progress. Hey, you look at them and go, hey, all of us are. What do you mean you don't have temptation? All of us got temptations. And the idea is, if you are shining light in people's lives, you are preparing them for when they're going to go before the big light. If you are not shining light, then you are not preparing them before to go before the big light. How do you say the love of God is within you? If you have something inside you, and your brother has need of it, and you don't share it, Yahweh says, how do you say the love of God is within you? Believers, we have the greatest light source there is, God in Christ in us, the hope of glory is in us. Will you shine it? Will you prepare for that great day? And guess what's going to happen? He's in the room. He's in the room and he sees each one of our hearts right now. He's in the room with us right now. He's going, amen! Amen! And he's inside you and he's testifying. And guess what's happening? Faith comes by hearing. You're getting stronger right now. You're getting stronger, and he'll testify. He'll go, we're to beat this thing. All of us have been bullied by our own flesh. And then we get a pep talk. And then we go, that's it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of my flesh telling me I got to eat this or I got to do this or these things. And Christ starts getting strong. He goes, you're building me. You're feeding the new man. Let's do this. Take it to the next level. The idea would be, when I was a teenager or a middle school, oh my goodness, my parents can have so many rewards. I would be sleeping in. I knew my parents needed chores to be done, and I'd be a teenager sleeping in. And my dad or my mom would come in on a Saturday. I knew there's chores to be done, although I always act ignorant. Oh, I didn't know you guys needed anything. There was always work. Yahweh created all of us to work. And my parents would come in, and they'd flip on the lights, and they'd say, get up! I wake up my heart, rude! And they wouldn't even acknowledge that I was being lazy and I was being selfish. Wake up! Agaro! Agaro is awaken! Your life, your job, and my job is to walk around, and everybody who sees us, wake up! Wake up! What do you mean, wake up? You're going to be going before the big light soon. We need to shine some light. And you go, well, who the heck are you? And I say, well, I tell you what. I'll shine light in your life, and it'll make your darkness make manifest, and we'll work on that together. But in return, I want you to shine your light on my life and show me the darkness in my life, and we'll work on that together. How about that? Let's do this thing together. Girls are great for weddings and stuff. We're going to work on this, and we're going to work on that. That's great. It's fantastic. The body of Christ, we should be transforming ourselves every single day. Not to conform this world, but to Jesus Christ. That when Peter, James, and John saw the vision of Jesus Christ, what did they do? They fell down on their face. That is not Jesus Christ conforming to their feelings. They were uncomfortable. If you fall down on your face, or oh my goodness, that is not like, now this is, hey, it's Jesus Christ, Elijah, how you guys doing? That's comfortable. Is that what they did? No, they fell upon their face. They're uncomfortable. And the idea is all of us are going to be, well, we could be, our idea is to shine, transform every day. Prepare people. If you don't shine, then who is preparing them for that? And the idea is when you go before Jesus Christ, and you ever had a test, and then the teacher goes, you bombed it. I bombed it. What happened? Well, I had football practice, and then my little brother did this, and the teacher goes, how old are you? I'm 14. You have the assignment. We're going to go before Jesus Christ, and no excuse is going to work. And by telling people they're not going to be judged for this life, is that loving them? No, that's conforming to the old man, their enemy. Our job is to deliver people. And we point things out. When you point things out, say, the truth will make you free. And they go, I don't have any chains on me. You say, everybody who lives in sin is in chains. That means everybody is in chains except for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was in chains, right? The idea is all of us have chains. What chains do you have? I don't see any chains. Well, then you're not manifesting enough light. Because if you're around light, you're going to see your chains. And once the light comes on, you go, holy smokes, I thought it was an ankle bracelet. Then my brother-in-law goes, Aaron, that ankle bracelet is connected to a cannonball. Huh. Do you want help with it? No, turn the lights back off. So we turn the lights back off, and then as I'm walking around in life, the neat thing is when you help somebody, who lives inside that person? If they're a Christian, Jesus Christ. If you plant the seed, it doesn't go away. My brother-in-law says, Aaron, there's a cannonball around. You're like, get out of here. You're just judging me. Judge not, least you be judged, or whatever. He leaves. And then every time I look at my life dragging one leg behind, I'm haunted by what he said to me. He was the hands and feet of Christ. I'm going, golly, I hate Tim. I hate Tim. And then guess what? Tim's not even in the room. Jesus Christ is in the room. And I say, oh, I'm such a, nobody loves me. And then finally, when I humble myself, guess who talks to me? He's already in there. He goes, are you ready to talk about this? What? Why do you hate to? He said that I had a cannonball. Was he lying? Do you have a problem with alcohol? Do you have a problem with pornography? No? Okay, so you can bring your laptop and your cell phone before Jesus Christ right now? You know your passwords aren't going to work, right, Aaron? Well, no, then you have cannonballs. And whenever you want to get to deal with it, you'll get to deal with it. There's a movie, one of the last Transformers. One of the last Transformers. Here it is, the beginning of the movie. Mark Wahlberg's in this. The good Transformers, the good robots, are in hiding. Why are they in hiding? They're not in hiding. Well, excuse me. They're in hiding because they're being persecuted. They're being persecuted by the bad robots. They're called the Decepticons. They're also being persecuted by the people they're supposed to take care of, the humans. And it's a bleak time in the movie. Optimus Prime, the chief of the Autobots, is in hiding. Why? Everybody's against him, right? And as long as the good robots stay conformed to ordinary machinery, a light post, a car, there's no persecution. Wow, right? There's no persecution. The Autobots are Christians. We have God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay? The people are the people of this world. The Decepticons are the evil forces that are out there, known and unknown. We don't need to know what they are. We won't even give them credit. We won't talk about them. Maybe it's angels or whatnot. But the feeling is, as long as I stay a truck, nobody's going to persecute me, right? What was going to happen to the Autobots if they didn't fight back? They were going to be exterminated, guys. And the humans, what was going to happen to the humans after that? They're going to be enslaved and exterminated. So the Autobots in the movie, they had a choice. Even though the humans didn't care for them, they're going to have to choose to fight. And they're going to have to choose to what? Transform. And as soon as they transform, what was going to happen? All the attention was going to come upon them. From the humans and from the wicked ones. And what did they choose to do? They chose to transform and to fight. The difference between Transformers is that this thing is for real. And in this world, we are the guardians of our Father's planet. And to the people out there that are not believers yet, we are the guardians. This is our Father's planet. Will you transform? Or because of persecution, will you become a coward? Oh my goodness, I hate that word. Will you be a coward to blend in? Or will you choose to fight? But unlike the Transformers, our Father and Jesus Christ are right here with us, watching all of this. I think of Optimus Prime as Gideon in the threshing floor. What's the point? The odds. Are you kidding me? With President Obama right now, with the way the media is going, how many Christians, if you turn on the media, feel like we're losing?
Great.
How many Christians right now, with the rainbows and the homosexuality and the sexual perversion, are feeling, if you don't conform, you'll be exterminated next? Mm-hmm. All of us do. Their fight with the Democrats and Barack Obama and the homosexuality and stuff, their fight's not with me. They're fighting the King of the Universe. He looks at this earth this big. And we talk to him. And he says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Are you being persecuted? Uh-huh. Are you talking to your Father about it? Well, he knows. He says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Jesus Christ, he blinded somebody for a season. Not Jesus Christ, but the Apostle Paul. I blind you for a season. Woo! Wouldn't that be great? Father, can I blind him? No? All right. Well, that'd still be pretty cool to get to blind one of your adversaries, wouldn't it? How about the blind ISIS? Father, can I blind ISIS? No? Okay, well, you let me know. We talked to him, and he goes, who's bothering you, Aaron Cunningham? I wish I had a globe here. Here's a globe. It's perfect. Here's our Father. All right, more calling Orson. Come in, Orson. More committee. What is it, Aaron? They tell me they're going to fire me if I don't do what they say. Really? Who is it? Can't even see him. You want me to squish him? Would you do that for me? Yes, I'll do that for you. All this war is going on when Gideon felt like he could not destroy the Midianites. Here's his Yisrael. And Gideon, Yahweh says, you got... The odds are in your favor, Gideon. Gideon looks around and goes, wrong address, man. No way, dude. I'm down in a threshing floor. The odds are not in my favor. And Yahweh goes, what are you looking at? Oh, you're using your eyes. Gideon, do you know who you're talking to? No, I'm up here. Yeah. I'm up here. I got heavenly hosts all around the place. And your objective, Gideon, is not to understand everything. Your objective is to obey what I tell you to do. And he does not promise you that you will understand it. In fact, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. What you should be preparing yourself for is when he gives you your orders, it's going to require faith. He's going to tell you to do something that doesn't make any kind of sense. Why? Because it produces faith. You make it trust. You say, I got this. Okay? So really, who is Gideon fighting against? The Midianites. Who are the Midianites fighting against? The creator of the universe. How do the odds look like that? Your odds are to transform each day. Don't be conformed. Transform by the renewing. We'll turn to Ephesians 6 real quick. And just like with Gideon, just like with Daniel, Daniel was praying. He had this vision. You're praying and you're not getting answers. Welcome to the club. We don't necessarily know anything. He never promises he's going to explain everything. Jesus Christ is our leader, right? Did you guys know that Jesus Christ was going to have to produce faith? How could that be? Well, he knew everything, right? No. He is our princely leader and perfecter. He is our example. If he didn't have to produce faith, then he's not our example. Jesus Christ in his ministry, he's probably like, let me think about it. They don't have any food here. Jesus is going, hold on a second. Here, or Yehoshua. Wait a minute. There was one other time somebody didn't have bread. You guys give them bread. I read about this. Anybody know who that was? Who distributed bread before Jesus Christ and fed a multitude?
Elisha.
It could have been Jesus Christ was sitting there going, what are we going to feed them? They're hungry. They've been here 3 days listening to teachings. They haven't departed. How much food we got? We got 12 loaves and five bread. 12. What are we going to do? Jesus Christ, I don't know either. What do you mean, Yahushua? You don't know. Hold on, let me figure this thing out. And then he goes, what did Elisha do? Jesus Christ had to produce faith. So get excited when you have to produce faith. That's where all the rewards are. Yeah. Ephesians 6 tells us, here's the preparations. And what the neat thing is that Tim did a teaching that almost all the equipment of the armor of Yahweh is defensive, with an exception of the sword of the Spirit. It said in verse 10, for the rest, be empowering yourself in Yahweh and in the grasp of His might. How strong is Yahweh's grasp? Did death hold His Son? Took Him back. Put on the complete armor of Elohim or Yahweh with a view to your having power. I never noticed that. Did you know that you would normally think that if you put on a shield of faith or a helmet, that doesn't receive power. That would withstand power. That's how you kind of feel it. Yahweh says, by putting on this equipment, you will receive power. He says it over and over and over again. A lot of times I got the shield of faith here and I don't receive power from it. I deflect power. That's how I felt. No, the whole thing, putting on this thing, you receive power by putting it on. There's an invisible war that's going on every single day. Yeah. I got news for all of us. Jesus Christ is in this room. He's sitting behind whatever kind of desk he has. And he's looking at us. And the neat thing is if you are humble, he's working in each one of our hearts going, I got it. And whenever you're ready, if you're humble, come to me. Come to me. We're going to work on this thing together. So our job is, I guess we'll read the whole thing. Put on, verse 11, put on the complete armor of Yahweh with a view to having power to stand. Are Christians supposed to sit?
No.
Stand. You got to stand for something, not blend in. If anything, the body of Christ is missing people with the guts to stand up. Jesus, we are the hands and feet of Christ. Right? If the legs won't stand, then Jesus Christ has a sense of paralysis. You ever seen somebody who has had paralysis? It's sad. Churches that are conforming to this age are giving Jesus Christ neuropathy. Somebody needs to stand like Gideon did. Stand. Verse 12, because our struggle is not against blood and flesh. So I did talk about our flesh and blood, but the real one is against the principalities of this darkness, against the authorities of this darkness, against the world holders of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. For this cause, take up the complete armor of Yahweh in order that ye may receive power to withstand the evil day, and all things having accomplished, to stand. How many Christians are laying on the ground feeling sorry for themselves? They're a victim. We were not created to be victims, and our job is if we love them, we don't go, oh, I know. You say, get up! Get up! Turn the light on! Shine some light on them! I can't get... You get up. You get up. He told you to stand. You get up and you stand to fight. There's a war going on. And this life is but a vapor. Adam lived 900 years. That seems forever, right? Mm-hmm. When he went to sleep, you know how long his life was? A vapor. It's gone. Just like that. It's going to vanish. All of us, our lives will be a vapor. The idea is every single day, did you win this war today? Did you stand out today? Did you shine? Did you walk around and people go, who is that? Who can speak with such boldness? How can you say Yahweh's name like that? How can you say these things? And you look at that. What should happen is you just say, am I wrong? Well, nobody else does it. Yeah, that's what they told Gideon too. That's what they told Moses. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees told Jesus Christ. Well, if he's really the Mashiach, then why doesn't he follow our traditions? They eat with unwashed hands. The religious people killed Jesus Christ. Transform. Transform every single day. And you are to stir, look at, stir to a flame the gift that is within you. And to transform yourself into the image of your Father. Who is your Father, the creator of the universe? It says in Romans that Yahweh speaks to things that be not as though they were. He said light be and light was. He speaks to things. His Son, who was in His image, and His ambassadors spoke to trees. When Jesus Christ is talking to a tree, hey, how you doing, table? Not very happy with you. The guy's talking to wood. Do you think the disciples were shocked when he's talking to a fig tree? What's this guy doing? I thought he was a Mashiach, but he's talking to the tree. Somebody go take the guy's temperature. He needs to eat. His blood sugar's low. He talked to trees. What else did he talk to? He talked to storms. What else did he talk to? He talked to dead bodies. Dead bodies can't hear, can they? We are to conform to the image of our Father. We should be speaking. How are you feeling? I curse that in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, here's something that comes against us. Somebody comes against you. I've been given authority, and as long as I'm parallel to Yahweh's word, there's great authority that is inside us. Everybody should be coming to us. I had a guy last night. I was ministering to a girl, and a drunk vagrant who smelled of alcohol comes, hey, how you doing? You look like a Christian. I need $2 for some food. This shirtless vagrant. And I look at him, and I'm like, all he's got is plastic. I'm witnessing to somebody downtown Wichita. And he goes, will you at least pray for me? Absolutely. And I went back to witnessing to this person talking, then he went off, and then I was like, I was actually kind of offended a little bit that he even stopped. I should be offended when people don't stop. If anything, I need vagrants to always come to me. People should be coming up and going, I need to talk to you. Well, who am I? I'm not a counselor here. Actually, we are. We should be a conduit, transformed to the image of our Heavenly Father. We should speak, be transformed. And then the last thing is speak to trees. That's not blending in. Speak to dead parts. Speak to your bodies. I am restored. Sarah was a 60-year-old hottie. I'm going to be a 60-year-old hottie. You got it? You listen to me, flesh. I am new in Christ. And if this body is hurt, then Jesus Christ's body is hurt. And I can have when my equipment doesn't work right, I get irritated. I can only imagine how he feels about this. I'm building this thing up every single day. We should speak to those things. Speak to all these things. Speak to the things that are not as though they were. Then the last thing, Joshua 1:8. Do you know what you should speak the most to? yourself. Because in Joshua 1:8, it told Yahushua, be strong or be firm and bold. They tried to kill Moses. Yahushua was going to inherit the ministry, right? Speak my words. Put the scroll in your mouth and speak it night and day. Then you will subdue the land. You should be talking to yourself Yahweh's word over and over and over and over again. And guess what happens? It never comes back void. And say it like you mean it. Get in your prayer closet. Get in your bathroom. Lock yourself. Well, I don't have a prayer closet. Then make one. Well, I'm always in the car with my spouse. I need to go to the bath. I have a lot of gas. You don't want to ride with me. Give them an excuse. Get out of the car. And go start confessing our Father's words over your body. And watch what happens. You will be transformed. And guess what? We will win. We thank you, Father, for these words. We thank you for all the believers that are here. I thank you for the incredible privilege I have to get to share your word. I thank you for the young believers who are here. I thank you for my mom and my dad and Telios Ministries. And I thank you for everybody that is feeding on your word, Yahweh. We have a choice each day to feed the old man or the new man. And we thank you for getting to feed on you. I thank you for everybody that has been praying for this audience our whole lives. We thank you for the people that are praying for us that we don't even know about. We thank you for the people around the world that are encouraging this ministries that we have. We know that there's a lot more on the line than we can ever imagine. But we thank you for strengthening us so we can be conformed to your image. To be transformed every day. Not to blend into this world. But each day, at the end of the day, as we stand in our bath and we can look at you and say, do I look like you today? And if I look like Christ, or I'm getting closer to him, well, then I should feel great. Going, I'm just like a little boy might want to look like his dad. We should want to look like our dad and our Lord. I thank you for the Telios Ministries, for the Rotherham Bible, and all the people that brought all these things together. I thank you for the words we're about ready to hear. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. It also says, do not quench the Holy Spirit or despise prophecy. And I thank you for the words we're about ready to hear. My sons and my daughters, know this. I understand the feelings that you have, and I understand that there's an overwhelming sense of loss. I understand that you're in a position that it feels like you're never going to get out of these ruts. I also understand that there's a feeling that if you just ignore me long enough, that things will just go back to normal. I understand all those things, but I want you to know that I am not a liar. And I only speak the truth to you. And there is nothing and no one who loves you the way I do. Remember that. Because there's all kinds of information and mediums that are coming to you with different informations telling you what you should believe and who really cares about you. But the real question is, who was tortured to death for you? Who had no sin was beaten to a pulp and died for you? Who took your place so that you could have a place in Christ? It was me. Remember those things when these other mediums tell you to stay away from me. Come to me. Your whole life should be transformed. And renew yourself by looking at those that went before you. Many men and women have died, and innocent blood has been shed to get you these words to you. The story of Gideon, the story of even Stephen, Peter, Paul, John, James, Moses, Elisha, Jeremiah. People died to get you these stories so that you could feed on them. So feed and strengthen yourself. And look at the greatest leaders there have ever been started off exactly feeling the same way or even worse. The difference is they made a choice to stand and fight. They made a choice to transform. And what does it matter? You've tried your whole life to make people happy. And you know that it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never satisfy them. It doesn't matter what you do, you'll never satisfy them. So I ask you to do this. Choose to satisfy me because I know you can satisfy me. And all I ask is each day, one step at a time. Don't look too far in the future. Give me this step. Give me this hour. Give me this minute. Give me 5 minutes and speak my words to yourself. Know that I am inside you and I understand. I specifically understand. You want to hear my voice. And I see you. There's somebody, there's a woman and a guy. They're standing there going, there's many times in your life that you're going, if I could just hear your voice, speak to me, speak to me. And I'm here to tell you, I am telling you to speak to yourself my word. I have commanded you to take my word and speak it over yourself. I am inside you and I design the body you have. The strength that you have is inside you. It is up to you to start priming the pump and watch what will happen. All your dreams and your desires are right in front of you, because it does say this: seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. I understand your dreams and desires. In fact, I'm the one, I'm the architect of most of the great ones. And I want you to get them even more than you do. So what's the key? How are you going to get these fantasies? How are you going to get these fairy tales? By putting me first. That's it. One step at a time. And I take care of the heavy lifting. One step at a time. You follow me. When Peter came before me, he fell before his feet. And he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Later on, his shadow was raising people from their beds. And that is what I'm asking you to do. And I want you to know that when you raise somebody from among the dead, when you awaken somebody, when you look over a dead child or a family is mourning the loss, and you say, Tabitha, arise, you will never regret one act of obedience. That is what I am planning for your future. You look at Peter. You look at Paul. You've read these things. You've heard these stories. But they're so far away to you. They're not tangible. They can't apply to you. I am thinking the same things in your life. I want you to walk on a higher plane. I want wonderful things for you. These are my dreams. And when you come with me, I take care of all the heavy lifting. So now it's time for you to start conforming to the one who really does love you, because we can do this together. Amen. Yeah.